Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Joe Duffy, of course, made the big announcement that he's going to be stepping down from Liveline in June. And he was on The Late Late, and I loved this little gag he had.
And I love getting the calls from people who are upset, or they feel they've been ripped off, or they've been badly treated. Now, that's just the internal RTE calls, right?
Well, you know what? I was looking at it and I was enjoying the conversation with Joe that he was having with Paddy Keelty on The Late Late Show. And it all crossed my mind. And I thought, well, OK, we know what's happening to Joe Duffy, but what's happening to this guy?
0818 715 815.
Is anybody thinking of him? What about poor voiceover man? We'll be talking after the break to the other voice of Liveline. Duffy announced last week that he will be hanging up his mic as presenter of Liveline on the 27th of June. And I have to say, I felt a big impact from that. I think the power of the Joe Duffy show, like all radio, and as Joe quite rightly pointed out in The Late Late Show, it's incredible. And I know, I guess for myself, from working for a couple of decades in radio, you can never underestimate the importance of just being there, of regularity. You know what I mean? And I think just people knowing that Joe was there, that they could contact him if they needed it, and that most of all, there was a voice that would listen. And I think more than ever these days, people need to feel heard. So I think Joe made some very salient points on The Late Late Show. But you know what? Of course, we're going to miss Joe Duffy, but we'll also miss this guy.
815 815.
Now, it's not the lad who's playing the music, of course, the guy who's just speaking and giving the number. That is Jonathan Ryan, probably Ireland's best known voiceover artist, and he's on the line. How are you, Jonathan?
Good morning. Yes, 715 815. There's a live one for you now.
Oh my God. It's Dermot here, Jonathan. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you, because I remember you. Maybe you don't want people to remember this, but I remember you from your Bosco days.
Well, now, I was the original presenter, the original voice of Bosco in the pilot series in 1979.
Mm.
And I actually operated the little puppet, so I know all his secrets. I can't remember how many programs we did, but it was to give us all a little bit of an up into television presenting, because none of us had any experience of it. And also, Joe O'Donnell wanted to test the waters of the country. Did the country need a preschool program, and boy, did they need it.
Absolutely.
And there you go. Yeah. So once it was up and running, they got Miriam Lambert in from the puppet Lambert Puppet Theatre, and she could fit into the box more easily than I could. And she wouldn't have to wear the tight underpants to get the high-pitched voice like I had to.
Well,
it was terrible.
Do you remember the day you recorded the famous Joe phone number? And did you re-record it, or was it just the one that lasted all through the years?
It was the original one lasted for years, and there occasionally there'd be additions to it on stings and special promotions and so on. But as regards the high-pitched shouting voice, it could be me, but I'm not sure if it is me. I could do you a live impression of it now, and you could tell me what you think.
Well, let's have a listen to the one I think you're referring to, because this is iconic.
Yeah. Okay, now see if I can do that, okay? If you hold, just get back from the mic and the speaker there.
Okay, go for it.
Joe Duffy! Does that sound like me?
I don't know. I think the jury could be out. If it isn't you, perhaps the original Joe Duffy person will actually contact us.
We're all doing it now. You see, you're doing it now. Maybe it was you.
I wish it was, but I guess, you know, it's the things around the show stick in people's memory as much as the show itself. And I guess for you, it must be nice to have been a part of such an iconic show for so many years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it really was. Yeah. And I only met Joe once or twice. Lovely, delightful man. I was in the radio rep for a while, so I had a bit of a thing about radio drama. And I wrote a little play called Talk to Joe. But I was told very politely by RTE, no, we can't have a play about one of our presenters who's currently on air. so, but maybe now.
Now the door is wide open.
I hear the hinges creaking.
You know what, Jonathan? You obviously we remember your voice for the Joe Duffy show reasons, but you've been in our psyche, in our cultural psyche for decades because you've done so many ads, and particularly at a time when ads were almost appointment viewing. Like if there was a new ad that came on TV, particularly for those of us in two channel land down the West, you watch the ads with the same excitement and intrigue that you did the main shows. And there was one that you were the voice of. And I think this will go down in history as one of Ireland's most iconic ads.
What I miss about home is the rain and the greenness and the pint of harp. And the evening before us, and friends coming in, and the pint of harp, and Sally O'Brien and the way she might look at you, and joining the chorus, and the pint of harp.
Sally O'Brien.
You see, that's very speeded. The engineer who recorded that ad in 1980, Paddy Gibbons, the legendary Paddy Gibbons. He, when I mentioned that to him, that I'd seen it on TV or something, a thing about ads on Irish television, they said it's very speeded to match the pictures. Because I sound very candid, I sound very camp there. And so that's what I miss about home is the rain and the greenness. Oh dear. You know, that's what it sounds like. But I didn't sound like that then. I have a much deeper voice than that. So. And Frank Sheeran really liked what I did, but he put me through the mill to get the read out of me.
Yeah.
Because I was very inexperienced at the time.
Well, it was worth it, wasn't it? Because it stuck with us. I do remember people saying they built a fake beach for that ad down in Wicklow, near Lugalaw or someplace down there.
Yes.
For the, frying the egg on the stones was actually somewhere down in Wicklow. And you know what?
If you had an egg.
If you had an egg. There was another one, Jonathan, that is also close to my heart because I remember acting this out in a home movie. I had my own version of this particular ad. It's one that you did with Twink, and it was for the very glamorous product of toilet roll.
Oh, yes.
His lordship's family insist on Jumbo's, the better value bathroom tissue.
Jumbo's, for that extra softness, strength and length. And long. How long would you say these Jumbo's are, Rose Violet?
About as long as it took you to get up here, Bernie.
I mean, you couldn't reuse toilet paper. You know what I mean, Bernie?
But I did. Somewhere there's a video of me somewhere stored on either a VHS tape deep in an attic or maybe on a hard drive somewhere of me going, about as long as it took you to get up here, Rose Bernie.
There you go. Yeah.
But it's funny. It's only when you hear these ads, you realise that the dialogue and the music and all that stuff is stored away in these little mini files
absolutely.
In the back of our brain somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I did my first voiceover in 1980, April Fool's Day, 1980. And I'm still doing them.
I know. We hear you all the time. And, I mean, did you ever think that would be essentially your bread and butter over decades? Or did you think at the time it was just going to sort of fill in some blanks when you acted and did everything else?
No, I didn't at all, because I hadn't a clue how to do a voiceover. I mean, it isn't easy. It isn't as easy as it sounds. I mean, it's so often where the client would be there in the studio and say, oh, I'd like to do my own voiceovers. And they go in and they freeze when they get on the mic. And they hear themselves. They hear themselves in the cans. They go, oh, Jesus, well, I didn't realize I sounded like that and so on. But it takes a while to become a good voiceover, and you become a good voiceover.
Yeah.
And then you work away. I was lucky that I was versatile with my voice.
Well, if there's anybody listening who'd like to get into the game of voiceover artistry, would you have any advice for them?
Yeah, don't make it sound like you're reading it. That'd be the main one. Deliver the lines like conversation, like normal conversation.
Yeah.
Now, it's often difficult because often the scripts are written in a series of bullet points, and therefore it's very difficult to make that sound like conversation. But there's a very, very good ad that on television, if you can find it, for Seinfeld, the movie. And Seinfeld is in the control room, and the late, great Hal Douglas is getting into the voiceover booth in the background. And he was in his late 70s at the time. And he was one of the really famous ones with the Inner World, you know, that voice.
Yeah.
The movie trailer thing. And he's getting in on Seinfeld and says, okay, we go for one. And he goes, Inner World. And Seinfeld clicks the talk back and says, no, it's not that kind of a no Inner World. What do you mean, no Inner World? in a land. No Inner Land. In a land before time. No, none of that. Come out of that booth. No, I like it in here. And I loved it in there, too.
Well, we loved having you as part of the whole Joe Duffy experience. As you sign off, could you give us, Jonathan, one more 1850-715-815?
Absolutely. 1850-715-815.
Email Oliver at...